Tonight, on the Big Footy Blues podcast, we talk all things that could possibly be wrong with the mighty Blues, or the once mighty Blues, as some people are thinking. And we're going to go into that into some depth in development and recruitment and all sorts of things. And we'll talk a little bit about the game coming up as well. All that and more coming right up. Someone of his calibre and know-how and perhaps thinking on his feet, perhaps even in our coaching box, lads. And so joining us, as always, tonight, guys, after that little hiccup, and I'm betting there'll be some editing done there, ODN, good evening.
Hi. G'day, guys. How are you?
And Justin Battler, welcome aboard.
Good evening, everyone, and a special good evening to Robinson Cruiser, my old mate from the forum.
And Happy Dude, welcome back again, mate.
Yeah, 3 weeks in a row.
Now, I'd like to point out that I have been trying to get hold of Devoid of Caring for the last half an hour, and he's not responding, so...
He didn't do his segment, that's why.
That's
I've
been trying, and we will keep trying throughout the course of the podcast to get hold of him, but...
He's gone missing. I blame the recruiters.
So, look, did you have any highlights from the weekend, Carlton or otherwise?
I had a couple that weren't Carlton-related. No. I caught up with a mate for his birthday on Friday night and drank a bit too much and got too angry at the TV.
That happens.
Yeah, I guess it was a highlight, the drinking too much.
Okay, what about ODN, anything for you?
I don't know if it's a highlight so much, mate. I just find when we have these really, really down times and we start looking inwardly at the club and what's going on there, it's a little bit of a perverse pleasure. I like to see if we've got things that need to be fixed, I don't mind those catalysts taking place. So I'm getting a little bit of positivity that the football world is looking at us and pointing the finger, and we've got no choice but to act.
Okay. Guys, I don't think there's any point in going further into the highlights. I think we're all pretty pretty annoyed with how the weekend went in terms of the Blues, and I think we may as well get straight into that with no further ado. So I know we've each got our own little interpretation as to how the Blues are going at the moment, and so perhaps we'll start with the more reasonable of us. And ODN, you've got some stuff to talk about.
Oh, I'm the more reasonable. Okay, rightio. no, look, I don't want to go on a big rant. I mean, I sort of just... obviously, what happened on Friday night was unacceptable. We've been sort of wondering because our win-loss record was 6-7 going into that game, but we'd been getting close against some half-decent sides, albeit appearing to... for want of a better word, choke in some of those games towards the end. We still saw that the process was working. We still thought we might have the players and the team, and that once they all gelled properly and the game plan was all up and running properly, that we'd start seeing the results. Well, what happened on Friday night was back to the inconsistent performances that saw Brett Ratten get the sack last year. It's inconsistent performances, even of 2011 that saw us finish fifth instead of making the top four. There was a couple of games there we really sort of dropped our bundle. Western Bulldogs was one that year. We just seem to do it every year. We just we don't seem to recognise the occasion. Players don't seem to be playing for the jumper. I don't know if they're playing for each other. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that, but. There's a mental fragility in our team, and I don't know whether we just don't have we've got some quality cattle, but whether the really talented guys in our list are the ones with the mental capability, the mental strength to lift the rest of them. I don't know. I don't want to go on a rant. I'll just keep chiming in here and there as we need to, but let's just see what the other guys think.
All right, well, on to the other guys, and perhaps Happy Dude. I know Justa Battler's got something epic, and so Happy Dude, what are your thoughts, mate?
Friday night, where was I? it just seemed like players didn't want to run. They didn't want to spread to get into space. I'm not sure exactly what the issue is. Don't think that we need a wholesale change, but the clock is definitely ticking against us. But at the same time, I don't agree with Kuda that we have a top four list at current.
Odian and I have talked about this in the past in earlier podcasts, but I honestly think that, and this has been expressed elsewhere in the media at times as well, but Malthouse was recruited specifically because Ratten couldn't take that next step, and we appear to have gone backwards. Whether it's because he's changed the philosophy of the coaching, or because the guys are playing worse, or because, but we can't blame the same problems Ratten had last year. And a lot of Ratten's problems were based around injury and his personal interactions. Now Malthouse is supposed to be a people person, and he doesn't have anywhere near the injury list that Ratten had to deal with, and yet we're at a worse point than we were under Ratten at the same time last year.
Can we play devil's advocate for a second, though, Wook?
That's why you're here, Odian.
Oh, rightio. Look, whether it's a case of Ratten, if the list is no good, then Ratten overachieved and he shouldn't have been sacked because of the odd poor performance here and there and because of a bad year. But on the same note, he had 5 years to develop the list, so we might have sacked him for the wrong reason. But there might have still been a reason now that we're looking at this group and how far they can take us.
Yeah, but there are players that have definitely gone backwards, ODN, this year in terms of where they were at last year. Guys that burst onto the scene last year, like Bell and other players who I can't remember because, I'm tired and everything, but guys like Bell who burst onto the scene are back in the reserves. Guys like Laidler and Dygan cannot get a game in the seniors for whatever reason. And I know people are going to cite form or whatever, but given the way we're playing at the moment, and we're trialling guys like Bootsma who just aren't built for it yet, and noticeably so.
It's just
have a go, Jab.
Your turn, mate. This side has been fucking soft for years.
Right? Are we allowed to swear like that?
You can for this point.
You can edit it out if he likes. I mean, seriously, I've played first grade rugby and representative rugby. Mate, this side is fucking soft. And it's about time people stop denying it. Right? They don't want to tackle. Right? They don't want... The leadership group, you've got to be joking. Right? Like, take Judd out of that side, mate. We're bottom four or six. Simple as that. In terms of intensity, in terms of trying to play man-on-man football, Carlton's not there. Every team knows it. Every media commentator knows it. We poor Carlton supporters make excuses. Game after game, week after week, month after month, year after year.
Is that because...
That's my rant. It's just softness.
They give us something now and again, Jab, and they make us think that we're going somewhere. 2011 was a prime example of that, and we were hard. We were hard by the end of that season when we lost that semi-final to the West Coast Eagles. We were as hard as nails at the contest.
Yep.
So they're capable.
We've lost players. Sorry, we've lost key players. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Guys like Santander are helping, right? Are worth four or five of the dickheads that are wearing the blue at the moment. That guy had heart and mongrel. And I don't care how much skill he didn't have. He had size, he had heart, he had mongrel, and he lifted the players around him. He lifted them. There's no one in the team that lifts anybody. Judd's broken. He's been carrying the whole team for 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, I'll mention Zach Tuohy because I'm still
starting. I agree. Yep. Good player. There's about four or five guys that are a core, fair income, you know, put in, week out. And then there's a whole bunch of rest of them that are, you know, flick on or flick off according to their mood. And some of the guys aren't even the biggest guys. Simpson's had a tough start to the year for a couple of reasons, but he puts in, he puts his body on the line week in, week out.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I was talking to Numbers about this last night. Numbers pops in periodically to, you know, shoot the breeze for a little bit. But we're a soft team. We have been a soft team for far too long. There's no one you'd really take there's no one you'd really say will stand up and be counted in any kind of physical situation, except for Jared Waite, who'll get suspended for doing it. But
and probably Walker's
all about, you know, Walker will do it from time to time, but he's still I still don't see him as being hard enough. You'll get
Somebody's told all these blokes, you've got to be very nice boys, cop it up the clacker, and cop it sweet.
It's what Malthouse said when he first came to the club, though. He said, these guys are nice blokes.
Bullshit.
And that's the problem. You've got guys like Cruiser, who's a big guy, but is so very much softly, unless he hurts someone in a contest.
I want to change. He's not soft, but he is polite. He's fair. He's
very fair.
He's very fair. He's not soft. He will put his body on the line. He'll take a hit. He's in the clinches. He's doing all that little stuff. I mean, I saw that written on the one of the main boards or the trade board or something like that about Cruiser being soft. And I think that's bullshit. But he is nice. He doesn't have the actual mongrel that he'll get in there and he'll grab a fistful of jumper and, you know, throw the odd jumper punch and let somebody know he's there. He won't do any of that stuff. And if he gets if the umpire, you know, gives a free kick against him that's probably not due, he won't remonstrate at all. He'll accept it even if he knows he was in the right. That's fair enough. He doesn't want to get a 50 against him, but at least show you're a bit disappointed. He's got no emotional. There's no emotion in him.
I'm not saying Cruiser's weak. I'm not saying he's soft as in he doesn't go hard at the ball or anything like that. But in terms of being able to stand up for your teammates, how many times have we seen someone get decked or something around the play and no one has done anything about it? Whether it's the skipper,
it's just disgusting. You can't have your captain cop a whack from behind and no one does anything, right? You can't have your captain cop a shoulder to the head from Hodge, who was out there sniping all night that night, elbows flying all over the place, and no one does anything. Nobody. Right? It's bullshit. It's just bullshit. Sorry.
I'm not laughing at you, Joe, but I'm laughing with you.
This schoolboy teams don't even do this shit. Right? So I reckon there's a serious, I don't care. The only way I read it is there's serious, I brought it up a couple of weeks ago and one of you guys poo-pooed me, or maybe it was on the forum. There are serious divisions within that team, and I think it all goes back to Judd's being paid five times more or three times more than the next closest. And I think that's a serious issue. You cannot have that in modern footy anymore. The superstar on a million, and then the next guy closest to him is on half a bar, and that person's half his age, and he's made captain, and he's not up to it.
That's a cop out though. I mean, Judd's finishing up that contract this year. He'll be on vastly less next year.
Correct, but he has been on vastly more for many years.
Yeah,
you know,
but
a lot of smart asses say you're worth three or four times what I am, or you do three or four times the work. No one ever stuck up for Judd. No one. And he would copped it for years, year after year after year.
They're damn lucky he went there.
Oh, bloody oath.
Yeah, so if
from that angle.
Yeah.
Look, I think one of the things that concerned me on the weekend was we got towed in every stat except one, in every key stat except one. And that stat was free kicks, by the way, if you're wondering.
We got paid
more free kicks on them, 17 to 16. But they beat us in every other stat, including hitouts. Now, given their ruckman were, and ruck is a bit of a bugbear of mine for various reasons, but given their ruckman were Hudson, who is theoretically a has-been, and is the backup for like Jolly and, you know, Christ knows who else.
Yeah,
and Witz was the other one as well.
Yeah, he's just played all five games.
Yeah.
And we got towed. We got absolutely towed in the midfield. We got towed in the ruck.
Well, it was only a few difference in the ruck, but the inside 50s is the telling stat. 61 to 38. Now, if that doesn't suggest that your midfield took a break, went on holidays.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter that weight was down because the ball wasn't going to get to him anyway.
Had nothing to do with weight.
No. I mean, that's it. Just coincidentally is when we started to fade, but even if he was still up there, he would have had to be running down to the midfield to try and get his own ball because nobody was going to get it to him.
ODN, they had eight players on that field against us that had played less than 30 games.
Oh, it's shocking! And they did that the first time we played them this year too.
We got spanked by a VFL team wearing black and white.
And
Buckley made that point after the game as well.
Oh, fuck, did he rub that in as hard as he could?
He did. I hate that fig jam. I hate that man so much.
He is a prick.
He is. I hated him when he played. I hate him when he retired. He was nowhere near him, and I hate him now.
Look what you got, Malthouse. You've got a bunch of sooky, squibby, piss-weak footballers who can't beat a bunch of 20-year-olds. That's what he said publicly, right?
Yeah.
He's outed the club publicly, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what anybody tells me. There's something very, very wrong with Carlton, and he's not Malthouse's fault.
But that goes back to development as well. There was some comments a couple of weeks ago about how well Geelong and Collingwood were doing when their reserves are at the top of the ladder, their seniors are at the top of the ladder, and our guys, we're getting flogged in the reserves at the moment. I don't know if you've seen the seconds. There's something manifestly wrong in the development level of our club.
Yeah, but
whether it's the fact that we haven't had a good marking and kicking forward, like tall marking, kicking forward, despite drafting 500,000 of the little bastards for the last 5 or 6 years. And other than Waite, and he's been injured for half the time. So whatever the forward guys are doing down there is just not right.
Well, what happened to Garland after the first quarter? What happened to Eddie Betts? Where were these guys? What did Chris Yaron do for the whole game?
Oh, well, you could ask that of any number of players that didn't do bugger all.
Well, okay, we'll talk about the forwards, right? Waite goes off, you know. Like, okay, you got Casbolt and those other three guys left.
Yeah.
Well, we all know Casbolt can't kick anything further out than 10 metres directly in front. Now, that's psychological problems.
Well, you got to look at this. Guys like Brock McLean had a disposal efficiency of 56%. That's appalling.
Yeah.
That is terrible. Yeah,
Charlotte, 57%. Casbolt, 62. Judd, 65. Kerno, 66. Anything below 75 is really not acceptable. And you got guys like Judd and Armfield, like McInnes even, in his first game back, so you can excuse that. But Walker was at 72.
Shocker.
It's just not, you know.
I don't mind so much if you're getting all the contested possessions, you know. Like Brock McLean had
that's true.
15 contested possessions out of his 25 disposals.
And Lucas had 11 as well, so.
However, he's not really, it's a bit misleading because he's not in the clinches getting those contested possessions. He's just very good body-on-body, one-on-one.
Yeah.
He's not... For somebody that, you know, and I don't want to knock him because I've been praising him for being one of the smartest players we have out there as far as presenting an option and backing up his teammates, but he doesn't get his hands dirty enough. He's not for somebody who lacks in pace. You'd expect him to be a little bit more inside than he is, He's sort of in between. He's a bit of a distributor and getting to the right spots to help out for that first receiver, that first receiver role. And he doesn't have a lot of mongrel, and you kind of expect that that's the sort of thing that he needs to have to make up for that lack of pace.
We haven't got the size to have mongrel. I've been on about this for a while.
What concerned me looking at the stats was our marks inside 50. That we lost 18-6 for the whole game.
Winning those all year.
Four of them. Yeah.
Totally ridiculous. The one thing though that in the past when we showed shocking, like just all out embarrassing performances like we did on Friday, was we'd be calling out like last year we needed Garlett's bad form and he didn't get dropped. Right. This year, what I want to see is one of the changes, because this is probably the first really, really embarrassing performance that Mick Moldhouse has had to have under him. I want to see him drop people, like have no one protected. Like, not everyone at once, wholesale changes won't fix it. But you have to make an example of a few people that are supposed to be leaders out there.
Name names.
Well,
give me a name.
Betts, first of all.
Yep.
Yep.
Something's wrong. Something's majorly wrong with Eddie.
It's quite possible he's not feeling as confident as he was after he got his jaw broken.
Let him get his confidence back in the VFL. Like, there's, yeah. Like, we saw it under Ratten time after time, and people were complaining about it a lot, was he had his favourites that he just wouldn't drop.
Yeah.
Like, we have to start dropping people, you know, to make room for kids that will have a crack. And then maybe, because as we saw in 2011, that we do have the team, as mentioned before, to go in hard at contests and,
Who are you going to put in for Betts? Menzel?
Yeah, probably Menzel, first one that comes to mind. Or a Dale or Buckley, someone smaller.
I think
depending on what role we need.
Dale's not ready yet, Buckley. I don't think. But Buckley...
Yeah.
Buckley's not big enough, but if you're going to replace Betts with anyone, it would be Buckley.
I was just more naming Dale just based on size, so much being ready and stuff. Just like switch players like for like still, but you can't let players get away with poor performances again and again.
We've got to wonder if it's time for Laidler to come in at half forward now.
He can't play. He's had an operation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a screw taken out of his knee, would explain a lot of his poor form and lumbering running.
Yeah. And we got Hampson out for 4 weeks. Not that anyone cares about that except me.
Well, I thought he would be coming. He would be the one coming in for Wade.
Well, I think he would have been, but it might be time for Mitchell.
Look, and the stranger things have happened. You know, when McInnes came in last year, he hadn't really been carving it up in the VFL.
He was a bit of a surprise.
One of the things bringing forwards is the delivery they get at VFL level will be a bit different, you'd hope, to what they'd get at AFL level.
That's a good point.
Well,
good point.
Except at Carlton, where our forward delivery has been appalling all year.
Hence my statement on you'd hope.
I think when Favola left, and we just forgot how to kick to a forward.
I don't think it was that. We used to kick it to Favola at his feet, and he'd pick it up one-handed and kick a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we used to have Ryan Houlihan was the best deliverer to a forward that the club had ever seen for ages, and Nick Stevens as well. So Favola got some pretty decent service from those guys, even though they probably – Stevens couldn't handle a tag. You know, Houlihan was pretty soft. If you're looking like for like, you'd be thinking that Lucas was the Houlihan replacement, but he doesn't have anywhere near the skill level. We don't really have that.
Gibbs and Murphy can lay on a good kick. Gibbs especially.
Yeah, Gibbs needs to get forward of the ball more. He can kick the ball. He can kick a goal from 50.
Yeah,
lining up on a set shot, and I don't see him do it enough. He doesn't get down there to put himself in that position enough.
Have you guys watched
Joel Selwood play lately? Selwood, the captain for Geelong, play lately?
Yeah, that's Joel. I actually haven't. I've missed a few of his.
You watch that
games.
Guy play. He's a fair dinkum champion, right? He doesn't have the speed that Judd had. He doesn't have the burst capability that Judd had. He doesn't even have the kicking ability that Judd had, right? But what he's got is ferocious intent. right? Nobody, our captain doesn't have ferocious intent.
Yeah.
Neither does Gibbs. Gibbs has got ferocious intent divided by infinity.
But see, I don't think anyone, I mean, Robinson aside, I don't think anyone
does. These are the leaders of the team, guys. I'm trying to say Gibbs, Murphy, right? They are the leaders of the team. Cruiser, they are the number one picks, the leaders of the team. Bullshit. I challenge anyone to tell me that there's one Carlton player, one, that would make the starting 18 for Geelong. Because I will have a debate with you on any one of those players. Not one of them would make starting at 2018. Not
why could they take Murphy?
He wouldn't get a run. No way.
2018. Yeah, no, you've got a few youngsters coming through now, Geelong. They've had a couple of retirements, remember?
But again, that goes back to development.
We're kidding ourselves. We've allowed Carlton to be captured by people who are paid a lot of money and don't earn half of it.
Are you banging the table, Joe?
He is. That's why people laugh at that.
Is that just your cheap pine, mate, or is it a solid oak? The resonance is...
Quite a heavy. I'll stop doing it. Sorry.
it adds to the dramatic point that you're trying to get across.
But okay, because after this week, like I'm not taking this team seriously now until there's big changes made. So this is like see you later, jab, right? Like I'm not going to go and watch these butterflies play anymore. It's an insult to the jumper.
Yeah, I'm stupid enough to... I'm going to make the trip up to watch some Saturday night, even though I have to be at work at 3 a.m. on Sunday, 2 hours away from the game. But I'm not going to stop going. But having said that, wholesale changes won't be the answer. Bring in three players this week, see how they go, you know, tell them that no one's safe anymore, drop a few people, bring in three players, see how that goes with them, and if they still serve up shit, drop more. And bring in more kids that we reckon will be part of the future. Don't do it all at once. That won't solve anything.
No, it won't solve anything.
No.
Matthew Watson had a good game in the VFL on the weekend. Now, he's been pretty ordinary in the VFL most of the year, so I was giving up hope as far as he's concerned. But he had a good game. I do remember when he came back in late last year, he had a few good games in a row where his... He seemed to be reading the flight of the ball pretty well. So rather than Mitchell coming, as we discussed before, I'm wondering if maybe Watson will come in and Henderson might get to go forward.
But I don't see why we don't do both. I don't.
Yeah, look, I agree. I reckon we go in one tall player, too little.
We've done this for years. Ever since Betts became our de facto centre-half forward. This has been a problem we've had since 2003. We're too reliant on one guy. And Waite, given his injury, should never have been the sole focus up forward, ever. We should never have got to the point where we're reliant on one guy up front who is injury prone to kick all of our goals.
We should never have got to that point. Let's be fair on that point. No one knew Favola was going to end up being... Absolutely written off.
I'm not saying we should get him back or anything like that. But when we built that team, when they made
the decision to do that trade, you know, that everyone talks about, Favola was the competition's number one full forward. Fuck's sake.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is he had all the ability. He had the football world at his feet. All he had to do was screw his head on properly. We built that team around him, and we just never found a proper replacement for him.
Correct.
But we never had a centre half forward during that time. I mean, after Whitnell retired,
Did you see how Carlton used to play when they got Judd on board? It was Judd, Favola, goal.
Like that user.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but they we got used
good.
To that setup.
Those two were that good 4 or 5 years ago.
The problem is Favola was able to make goals out of nothing. Goals that weren't there became goals because he was around the goals.
Correct. And whose fault is that, though?
Well, that's
that was coaching.
That was a guy who was a natural superstar forward. And
never grew up. I knew him before. Knew of him like through friends of friends before he got drafted, and he was exact same then as he was now. Some people just don't grow up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was a bloody good forward. Now the problem is, after he left, and he left in 2009.
Yep.
He was traded 2009. and it's now 2013, and we still haven't got a replacement.
Yeah,
we still haven't got anyone that comes even close.
Yeah.
So what's this rumor that Ratton wanted to make changes? Remember after the 2011 semi, someone brought it up actually on the forum, and it was quoted as saying this team won't be playing together again.
Yeah.
Right. And he wanted to make change, and he actually said in the article after the match, he said we need to find another tall up front and another tall down back, and we need to go outside the club and find them. And nothing happened. Now, you know, maybe it wasn't all Ratton's fault, the list that we've ended up with. Maybe some screw-loose idiot in a Carlton just stopped the coach from actually doing what everybody knew had to be done for whatever friggin' reason.
I remain mystified as to the recruitment of A, our ruckman, B, our forwards, and what the hell is John Barker doing down at Carlton?
Oh,
God. Can you answer me those three questions?
Well, hopefully you get taken out the back of Princess Park and shot or something.
Do you reckon it's Barker's fault that Casbolt can't kick?
He is the forward coach at Carlton. He is responsible for the development of Hampson, who can't kick to save himself, Casbolt, who can't kick to save himself, and any one of our other forwards who cannot kick to save themselves.
And Cruiser, he started off with 100% kicking rate, the goal, and now it's gone back to about 10%. So
whatever our forward, you've got Mitchell in the reserves, who is, you know, a reasonably good mark and a good lead, and yet his goal kicking lets himself down as well. So what the hell is Barker doing?
Who taught Walker how to kick? Remember when he went off and worked on his kicking action that year? I think it was before 2011, and he came back.
That was Matthew Lappin.
Got nearly all of his shots in.
That was Matthew Lappin, who then we let go to Collingwood.
And who let him go to Collingwood?
What's that?
Who let him go to Collingwood?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, who let Santana go and kept Bauer?
Yeah, the decision to let Bauer, we'll keep Bauer instead of Satander, is, again, another questionable decision. The recruitment of Warnock, full stop.
And who wrote all those, who signed all these players that are never going to play firsts on extended two-year contracts last year?
No, sir.
Hey? Serious shit's gone wrong in there.
I've got to wonder, and I wrote this in the forum, I've got to wonder if Malthouse is a little bit concerned that after not turning up for the recruitment discussion before the trade period when he was out doing his daughter's book tour.
Yeah.
I think that was a mistake.
Huge mistake. Sure, and then pretending that, you know, he hadn't had any conversations earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
No, I think he said he needed the year to decide if these guys can play or not. I mean, we didn't want that year because we're success starved, but you know, I think the only players in real danger of being delisted were ones that still had a year to go on their contracts anyway. So
we only delisted one player though, and that was Nick Hine. That was it.
You can't expect someone else who doesn't know anything about our list to come in and start making changes left, right, and centre.
It wasn't like he was ignorant of the game though; he was watching.
And yeah, but you don't know from outside whether it is actually game plan development recruiting until you get to the club. Like we're guessing right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, another thing about development, I heard someone mention earlier about Collingwood and Geelong's VFL side sitting on top of the ladder. But back when Geelong were winning like 07, made 08 and won 09, their VFL side wasn't too strong.
That's true.
Yeah,
but that's not the case now, and they're still winning.
Yeah, but the game's changing all the time.
Yeah.
And basically, I'll tell you this, teams that actually control their reserve team, because that's what it is, will have a much better success rate going forward than teams that have these so-called joint ventures, co-sponsorships, whatever. That's bull twang. Geelong players, have you noticed how many they're rotating between their seconds and their firsts these days? It's unbelievable.
There's nothing that would stop us from doing that either.
I reckon give us a few years and Northern Blues will become Carlton seconds and Preston will be gone. I reckon we're doing a slow takeover instead of the whole late 3 years and then jump off and do our own.
I think there'll be a demerger within 2 years. I think the AFL will end up having no choice but to go with a reserves competition again.
Yep.
Both of those opinions make sense. But we've got to take control of the development because I can see it in the better teams, they run deeper.
Hawthorn still have Box Hill, though.
Yeah, and they're very happy with that position.
Yep.
They contribute financially to Box Hill.
And even back in 08, Box Hill weren't very weren't a powerhouse team either. So the premiership teams from 07, 08, 09 and 2010 all had pretty average VFL teams.
Yeah, well, actually, well, the Swans don't, though.
Yeah.
Well, the Swans have got that academy thing going, mate.
Well, the Swans have got their academy, but they've also got a full-fledged reserve side.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, but they're in a different state, so I didn't count them.
Yeah. But that's the model that everyone else is. Everyone else is looking at the Geelong, Collingwood and Swans models and going, well, we want our reserves teams. And to be honest, if we're a big club, and I say if because we're not behaving like one. We haven't behaved like one for a long time. This whole bit where we're pleading with members to get the 50,000, that's not what big clubs do.
No.
Big clubs go out and find ways to make it happen without having to beg the members to sign up.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but 20th century champions, 21st century losers.
At the moment?
Right now.
I know ODN said about us being success orientated earlier, but I'm not sure how we get that right. We haven't won a flag since 1995. We haven't come close since 1999.
I will tell you how you get it right. It's not complicated. Do not ever list a softie. Ever. It's about hardness versus softness.
No, it's balance.
You don't get that, you get nothing about football.
You can't, it's you a can't balance, be all about Ed, hardness. You've got to have the skill and the talent.
Yeah. I mean, let's look back at some of those really good Carlton sides. David Glascott wasn't a hard man. He was a skillful man. He was quick out there on the wing, and he was a gun. But he wasn't a hard man. I mean, you've got to have a bit of a balance. Scott Camporelli's not really he wasn't really a hard man.
No.
It's just we don't quite.
Outside players versus how many hard guys?
This is what I'm saying, mate. It's not like don't list a softy. It's just this is playing devil's advocate again. And I'm especially looking at the big footy Carlton board has a lot of division at the moment. Okay, those who have gone okay. Our recruiting's been on the back of that loss, and they're waiting to see because we were so close, but yet so far. Then we had that loss, and all their questions were answered. So we've got one group that's gone one direction as far as the players not being good enough, and others going another direction, saying, well, they are good enough, but this has happened. It's a bit of an aberration. This sort of stuff. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Okay, the players individually, a lot of those players are good enough. Okay, but they're not good enough if they don't have the right balance of players around them. So, if you've got too many of one type, you send some of those players to another club where they might complement the harder bodies.
Yes.
They're going to go really well, but we have too many of them in the one side. So we have too many of one size player, too many that don't have the muscle bulk, too many that can't lay a tackle, but we've got too many that can do the pretty things, but they don't have the other stuff in the game to actually get the ball. Exactly. So it's not like they are good enough. They are good enough, and they've shown on their day that they're good enough. It doesn't come often enough, and it doesn't come when our balls are really on the line.
It's important not to get too carried away when you're condemning players. You don't get to be on an AFL list without having some measure of talent or skill.
Obviously.
There's too many hurdles in the way, especially if you've got to come through the under-18s or through the SAMFL or through the WAFL. However, whatever path you choose to get to the AFL, you know that when you get there, you've earned the right to be an AFL player. Now, what we've got, though, is we've got, and like Odeon said, we've got a poor mix. We've got a lot of flankers. We've got a lot of outside players who are trying to do jobs that they're not meant to be. Like it's not the job they are made for. And we need to take a good look at that. And if you go back to 1995, like you said, we had Craig Bradley, and he was complemented by guys like Fraser Brown. You had guys like Kernahan. But you also had guys like Earl Spalding. There's guys with the skill, and there's the guy with the bullocking ability to get the ball to the guys with the skill. For every Greg Williams, you had a Justin Murphy.
that guy.
I'm trying to say that, yes, we've got a lot of guys like Murphy, and we've got like Mark Murphy and Chris Judd. What we don't have is enough guys like what we all wanted Tom Bell to be, and that hasn't quite eventuated.
We need
more guys who are going to, you know.
It's such an imbalance. It's very hard to fix it.
We need key position defenders who are going to be more lightweight, but without the suspensions and the stupidity that he does from time to time. Well, that's what our big guys are supposed to be. They're supposed to create the room for the little guys. They're supposed to create the contest for the little guys. And our big guys, they don't do that often enough.
I mean, look at Hampson and Warnock. I mean, come on. You think Cruiser hasn't got any meanness in him? Oh.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to talk about individual players because it's not fair. It's just you're right, ODN. I've made the same point in the forum, a long post where I said there's an imbalance of soft outside players versus inside players, and it's so imbalanced that people just turn it up.
Yeah.
Even looking at our other talls, I mean, we all sort of appreciate that Henderson and Jamison have done a pretty good job this year, but they're nice guys too.
Yeah, they're not
monsters. They're nice.
Yeah.
Everyone's too nice. You know, and you look at some of our good players, the way we use our good players, when they've got particular roles that they should be excelling in, we have to switch them into other roles to stem the tide, you know. Gibbs has been switched around for years to try to plug those gaps when something's going wrong. Walker's somebody else that gets thrown to the walls just because he's got the talent and he can't play his natural game. I mean, he was on bloody wits. I think at one point, because Henderson had to go forward, so you've got bloody McInnes and Walker that have got to try to play tall back there because Collingwood bloody had sent three talls up there.
Just start with the
obvious ones, right? Betts, Garlett, and Yaron cannot rotate through the middle. They can't get their own ball, be an inside player. They might do a cameo here and there, but they can't play a full game like that. Now that's three midfielders you haven't got. That every other team has.
Why can't they do it? I mean,
Betts has the size.
Betts, when he gets in there, when he's confident, I mean, he's a one-touch player, and he at times in the past, and he's been in that midfield, he's made things happen.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's not right. I understand he's not right this year for various reasons. But I don't know, how much of a tank he's developed, but he can still. I would suggest he can still spend 40-50% of his time in the midfield. It's just that we need him.
Yaron should be a gun midfielder by now. Gun midfielder.
Agree, yeah.
He's got the size, the speed, the brains, the kick. You know, he's got everything except one thing.
Attitude.
One really important thing.
Did you just throw your keyboard?
Yeah.
Look, guys, I think
I'm sounding really bad tonight. I'm a true blue. I'm passionate Carlton supporter.
I feel your pain, Jab.
I hate saying all this stuff, and I prefer that it actually wasn't posted.
Yeah. Just one thing. We've been in this position before with previous coaches, Pagan, Ratton, and. Parkin. I'll be interested to see with Malthouse what direction it takes. Here we are. Here are our issues. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. That's why I'm very interested for this week.
All right. Let's very quickly take a look at this week's game coming up. We've got the Saints. It's a Saturday night game. It's live on TV all around the country on Channel 7 and Fox. Are we expecting wholesale dumping or... massive team changes, or are we going to go in and hope that our defenders pick up a little bit?
They won't dump a heap. I can see they'll just look at the players to say, we'll make all the right moves, noises about how they let each other down, they let the coach down, they let the club down, and they'll talk about how they want to rectify that. But, actions speak louder than words. Let's see them actually go out and do it. Not that it's going to mean a lot. It's St Kilda. We should win. However, they're a bogey team.
They're a bogey team. So I mean, no, like honestly, our team against their team, we should win. But they're saving themselves for us. Luckily, we've actually had some motivation to do better than we did last week. So we should be a bit harder. We were embarrassed. Jared Waite missed last time because he got suspended. This time he's injured. So I'm worried about our structure and how well it's going to hold up. So I don't know who we're going to bring in. But
you should
obviously,
tell Casbolt to pick somebody up and dump them. And hurt them.
He bursts onto the scene, and then like last week, he just disappeared. I'm not sure what he did all game. I mean, he had 9 hitouts or something, which isn't too bad for a backup ruckman, but no, 1 mark inside 50, and not much else.
Yeah, I reckon we'll probably see maximum 3 or 4 changes. They'll probably bring in Graham. A lot of people hinting at him coming in. They'll bring in, I think Menzel will probably come in as well. And they'll bring in Watson or Mitchell, depending on who they believe more ready. I think Watson will come in, personally. Then depending on how that goes, the next week they might bring in the other one, Mitchell or Buckley or someone else, depending on how we go. But in all honesty, I reckon that just going off previous experiences with how Mick handles things and how players respond to things, I reckon we'll come out, we'll blow them out the water, and it'll be interesting to see if everyone believes that the cracks have been paved over once again, like we have in the past when we've come out and blown teams away when we needed to, and then just sat back and watched them.
Do you think we're going to blow them out the water, do you?
I reckon we will to St Kilda.
Geez, I hope you're right, because I would love nothing more than Carlton to beat St Kilda and North this year.
I reckon we will beat St Kilda by more than 40 points this week. But what I'm worried about is if I am right, and that does happen, is people then, like, especially inside the club, like players themselves, going, yeah, we can do it, and then not dropping the ball again the next week.
Do you think Malthouse is going to get sucked in?
No.
I don't think Malthouse will. I think the players will, though.
Do you get the feeling that there's just going to be a massive changes at the end of the year?
There will be a fair few changes, especially of those players that are fringe players. Malthouse to try and dump to bring in players he believes can change the best.
I expect trades. I expect a fair few things. Well,
Swan said it'll happen too, and they can't be saying that if they're talking about the likes of Joseph and Davies and the fringe the players that aren't getting games this year. If they're going to come out and make statements like that and say there's going to be changes and, you know, we're taking this all seriously, then some big name's going to go and the supporter base is just going to have to suck it up. Okay, none of this whinging, bloody protesting like they try to do with Favola. Bloody, whatever changes we have to make to be able to secure our future and get some fresh blood and some players that are important that help our structure in, then we should go ahead and do it. And just looking at that list... nobody is indispensable. Not one of those players. Juddy, I love and everything, but if he was willing to go somewhere and we were going to get something for it at 29, nearly 30 years of age, then nobody, not one player on that list is indispensable now.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. Even though I only heard half the point.
I'm just saying, mate. No, man, there's no player on that list that is indispensable. If it means getting somewhere, we can't afford to be loyal to our big names and our number one draft picks and stuff like that. Our big issue is going to be you put them on the table and they don't want to go. You're going to lose them down the track for nothing. So you'd have to actually sound out if somebody was prepared to be put on the trade table.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay, guys. I reckon we're going to wrap it up there tonight.
No worries.
Sounds good.
We're getting a little bit heated, and it's gone on a bit long, and I'm not entirely sure this cast has worked properly. So
we'll see how it comes out.
Yeah, can't get all the table thumping, guys.
Can't repeat all that, mate. Can't repeat all that.
Even if it doesn't work out, at least I've had a good way to rant, because I hate trying to type all this out and have people misinterpret what I'm writing.
It's very cathartic. Thank you very much, Whoopster.
That's how it happens, mate. That's what we do here. Have a good week, guys. Hopefully we have a better win on the weekend. Well, hopefully we have a win on the weekend. It'd be nice to get back in the winner's circle. And we'll see you all on the forums.
All right, see you there.
Cheers, guys.
See you, guys.